It is time for Tech Thursday, of course, here on eRadio, and Kane is here. He entered with a bang today. How's it going, Kane?
Oh, going great. Thanks, Ion. Thanks for having me, and congratulations on hitting your 1 million views mark in the 10th month.
On the website, yes. Yes, that, of course, happened this week.
Yes.
Yeah, it's almost our first birthday.
I mean, what an achievement. Congratulations. That's unbelievable.
Thank you. And you know what? Thanks, Kane. That's so nice of you. I appreciate it. And you know what? On this day, exactly a year ago, I actually approached my brother and I said to him, hey, I've got an idea. Let's try it. And he said, okay, what do you want to do? And I told him about eRadio and everything. And he said, let's do it. But I just said to you all fair, if he said, nah, it's not going to work, then I wouldn't do it. Because I wouldn't have been here. We wouldn't have been here today.
Right, just now. Goes to show that taking that first step and planting the seed is the most important part of the whole ordeal.
It is. And then everything happens organically. That's what I love about it. Nothing is forced. It just happens, and it's the way it should be, and I love it. Here we are now.
Law of attraction.
Yeah, here we are, 10 months later. I mean, we're doing Tech Thursday. Things are looking good. Our listenership's going up.
You have a new weather team.
Yes, we've got a new weather team working on it with the weather hooligan. He's such a cool guy. You must listen to him 7 o'clock in the mornings.
Got to urge our viewers to go listen to that.
Yes, absolutely.
What an experience.
Yeah, but how are you?
I'm doing very well. Do you want to hear what some of our lineup is today?
Of course.
Take a listen to this. So South Africa has a new nuclear-powered site planned for South Africa.
Ooh.
There's only one at the moment in the Western
Cape. Kuberg.
Yeah, now we're adding another, potentially. South Africa wants to be supporting a consortium to establish the first COVID mRNA vaccine technology transfer hub, which was originally pushed by the World Health Organization. South Africa saying, you know, this is a great opportunity for us and we want to be a part of it. Also, in South African news, can you believe it? One of our, it's called the Meerkat Radio Telescope. It's one of one of South Africa's flagship telescopes, discovered a group of galaxies being formed, something that has never been seen before. Galaxies and how they form, that mathematical calculation, never before been tried and tested. And here we have South Africa making some news headlines with their discovery. China is cracking down on crypto, trying to stop some software firms from allowing advertisement around it, trying to push news about it. They say it's to protect their own national economy. But you know, there's speculation out of it afoot. Ferrari is looking to get into simulation technology to develop their 2022 Formula One car, hoping to get it as a launch pad back into Formula One, so that they can get on top of the log. Jeff Bezos has stepped down as Amazon CEO.
Yes, but he's still going to space.
Yeah, no, I think he's planning on staying in space or something. You know, we gotta have to figure that one out.
And you saw who's going to space with him, apart from his brother.
Who is it?
Remember, I sent you the article.
I do, but
old lady.
I know, but I wanted our viewers to guess. Can you imagine how that's going to be? Imagine being over the age of 80 and going to space.
Isn't it 86?
Wow.
She's going to space.
Making milestones.
Yeah, what a cool granny to have.
Absolutely.
Imagine, hey, I'm going to space. Imagine, I mean, where will you ever get a granny saying she's going to space tomorrow?
Well, that's how you easily break a record for oldest person in space, right? Just for the small cost of about $3 million,
you get in Guinness. I just hope her health is good.
Oh, yeah, no. She's going through rigorous testing, probably going in fast cars upside down, G-force training, who knows? Remember Huawei?
Yes.
They just won 5 awards for their new technology at one of the conferences that were held where they make these awards for influential technology. So making a kickback. We know that they just released their Harmony operating system as well. So this is really, really good for Huawei in terms of breaking back into the market after their little hiccup with regulation. Do you know that if you had a Huawei phone, one of the biggest problems is if you are going from Huawei to Samsung, whenever you got that Huawei that isn't running on the proper operating system, and you know this because you have an app called the App Gallery, that's Huawei's way of getting past the Play Store, you can't transfer your WhatsApp chat history. I've yet to find a way to do it, and it's quite complicated.
Can't you restore it from your Google Drive that's synced with it?
Well, you see, when they clamped down on Huawei's ability to use Android, they stopped Huawei from being able to make WhatsApp backups to Google Drive.
Ach, nee.
So there's no Google Drive.
Ach, nee.
Can you imagine the problem there?
No, man.
So to all the Huawei users out there, you better start Googling how to move that chat history. And when you find out, do let me know so that I can get my last years of chats in my phone.
But that's if you still want to be on Huawei.
I personally would definitely advise it because their new Harmony operating system is supposed to be cross-device compatible.
Or if you want to be on WhatsApp, that's actually what I wanted to say. If you still want to be on WhatsApp, they're full of crap nowadays.
Do you know, I got my new phone. You know what the first thing that popped up on my WhatsApp?
No.
To accept the terms and conditions of their policy update. I still haven't done
it. You still haven't done it. It's still working.
Yeah, just no blue ticks.
Oh, okay, no, but you switched it off.
Yeah.
Okay. So your WhatsApp's still working. So you are living proof that if you don't accept those terms, you can still live.
Yeah.
Nothing's
going
to happen to you.
I mean, that
was
going on in May, right?
Yeah.
And I'm still here today on
8th of July.
Yeah. I wonder how many people would be affected. It's quite an annoying pop-up. You're like, oh, let me just answer this call, but I got to quickly dodge this intrusive pop-up quick.
Yeah, it's like a
playing
spam
whack-a-mole
caller. But listen, let me tell you something. You know that last week we spoke about that Poppy Act,
yes.
Remember? Now, since then, I actually didn't get any spam calls.
Really? I haven't either.
Unless my blocking finally paid off and they don't have any numbers left to phone me from. But yeah, I haven't received any spam calls.
No, people are scared.
Yeah. But I'm getting SMSs of somebody who needs to pay their Vodacom account. So I don't understand that. I'm on MTN. And I'm all paid up. So I don't know, why would you give my number for your MTN?
I never ever trust those. If someone asks me for money via SMS, you're not getting it.
No, man.
I'm sorry.
Don't click on those links.
No.
Don't,
no ways.
Don't.
What do you have for us today?
Interesting. We're going to look at some Play Store apps that are stealing your Facebook password. So that's not cool.
Got to keep that on lock.
Maybe you've got that on your phone right now. So we're going to check that out. Also, some WhatsApp settings that you might want to change for safety reasons. And then also, talking about WhatsApp, they have some new major features revealed. And then also, a bit of a slip up in government again. They paid Microsoft 318 million rand instead of 21 million rand.
Now, how do you make that mistake? The numbers aren't even close together.
Yes, I'm just going to push this button in transferring.
It's literally like, okay, I got to pay 21 million. So I've put three and a six by mistake, and I've added additional two zeros.
No, man. Ugh, I don't even know what to say. And then also, lastly, we're going to talk about Cape Town launching their first electric buses this week. Two of them, in fact. They are running as we speak.
Wow.
But I want to see what happens when load shedding comes back.
Oh, yeah.
How's it gonna, is it going to be a problem?
Shut down the whole bus economy.
Yeah. So two buses, they're running between two suburbs at the moment. I think Retreat in Cape Town and something else. But what's going to happen when load shedding returns? Don't want to say that, really.
I would love to know how long it takes to charge, you know?
Yeah.
Getting those last 5 minutes in before scheduled load shedding. Or does some guy just have to drive next to you with the most biggest power bank you've ever seen in your life on the back of the
bike? Yeah, please recharge me. But yeah, anyway, that's going to be interesting. It's nice to know, you know, that they're working on, at least we got something electric here in the country.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say too loud, but Eskom seems to be doing okay at the moment. If you look at their figures every night, the demand is much lower than the supply. It's close.
You mean the supply is much higher than the demand?
Yes.
Okay, so yes. They've got enough power, right?
That's what I'm trying to say.
They've got enough power.
Yeah, they don't need to shed anything to make up for lost things.
And now they're going to be launching this nuclear... Actually, let's talk about this nuclear power plant,
but
right?
No, I'm worried now. I mean, they can't even do a correct transfer to Microsoft. How are they going to launch another nuclear weapon?
Look, if I buy 50 watts of electricity and I get 127 million, I'm not going to be complaining, you know? I don't know how South Africa overpaid that. I just... The guy in charge of the accounts was hired to be in charge of the accounts, and he had one job, and he lost all our money in one go.
No, man, it's hectic, eh?
Do you think someone at Microsoft was just sipping their coffee and then, you know, like choked on it when they saw their account is plus 380 million?
Or maybe they're used to it.
I wonder what it was for.
I'm going to tell you. I'm not sure myself, but I'll tell you.
So should we quickly chat about this nuclear facility?
Yes, where's it going to be? Please say it won't be close to us.
So Eskom is moving forward on its plans to establish a new nuclear power site in Thaispeit in the Eastern Cape. The country's national nuclear regulator said that it received a nuclear installation site license, or an NISL, application from Eskom for the site, with public hearings scheduled in the surrounding towns of Jeffreys Bay and St. Francis Bay at the end of August. The hearings are the first step in the application process and are aimed at gaining insights from members of the public on issues relating to health, safety, and the environment. Nuclear waste is no joke. You know, you get nuclear waste in a coastal area, it's over. You know, I think Mexico's ocean was burning for a stage because an oil refinery happened.
Did you see those photos?
It's incredible.
It's beautiful, actually, but tragic.
Tragic. What happens to the fishes?
Beautifully tragic.
Do you think the water, obviously, that cannot contribute to a significant rise in water temperature unless it's...
Yeah.
But it was over quite a radius. It's no joke to have nuclear waste anywhere. And obviously, there's probably quite a few boxes that have to be checked in order to actually establish such a facility. But let's talk about how much power that facility is going to be contributing. Because remember, we had a 6.8 billion rand solar site installation that we spoke about recently in the Northern Cape. And that only was providing 130 megawatts. And our global demand is about 30,000 megawatts. So that solar power, in coordination with how much electricity it provides, is quite a price. So let's take a look at this quickly. So South Africa currently has a single nuclear plant in Coburg in the Western Cape, and a drive for additional facilities largely faded after the ruling party forced Jacob Zuma to step down as president in 2018. The site at Thaispeit will likely form part of the government's new nuclear power proposal for the country, which will see it procure a total of 2,500 megawatts of additional nuclear capacity by 2030. Now, that's about, sure, it's about 200 times more power generation than a 6.8 billion rand solar facility. The build is to provide clean baseload capacity in response to the approximate 24,000 megawatts of coal capacity being decommissioned. So they obviously want to replace the decommissioning coal facilities. And South Africa uses quite a significant amount of coal. But anyway, the procurement of the 2,500 megawatt from nuclear power will increase the nuclear contribution to the country energy mix from 2.4% to 5.6%. It's a very difficult game. You know, you're building these massive big facilities, basically doubling your nuclear power generation, and you contribute 2.5% additional power to the grid. It's a lot of power that we're using.
Yeah. Eh?
Really, it is. But there is good news. They expect a growth of 1.8% in demand by 2030 and an additional 1.4% by 2050. So obviously, you know, technology as it advances tries to use less power, right? So demand isn't actually foreseeing such a dynamic increase as you would expect. You know, you think year on year we're increasing 10% in power demand and things like that. I think with Bitcoin miners it's a bit of a problem. But in regards to being able to generate enough electricity on an annual basis, this might be what we need in order to kind of take that load off of load shedding, pun intended.
Did you only have shedding?
Just shedding.
But you know, I think we got so used to not really having electricity. I don't know about you, but I walk around at night in the dark, basically, now. I'm so used to it already. I mean, I walk into stuff, but now I've got blue marks to show, but it's you get used to it. Or you use your cell phone torch.
You think the lights are on, but they're not. Your eyes are just really good at seeing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a new skill, but only for South Africans.
The rest of the world's going to go into a global blackout. There's South Africa. Like,
we'll be able to see.
Yeah. Yeah, we're fully capable.
It's you know what? It's amazing how we adapt.
It is.
But I firmly believe in adapt or die. It really is like that. Like the times we're living in right now as well. You got to adapt.
A great example is Israel. They are obviously under quite a lot of siege all the time, especially from missiles being launched at the country. Sure. You don't actually know about a lot of these things, but it's happening in real time. And Israel has quite an advanced military defense system in place. They actually have, I think it's 8 anti-missile vehicles that protect the entire country. They're mobile, so they can move around, and they basically fend off, you know, 8,000 odd missiles per month, with one or two that maybe slip through the cracks. But their position is adapt or die. You know, if they don't, they don't last. And it is really like that. Life is actually a little bit like that. Adapt or fail, you know? Yep. And in failing, if you're not defeated, you learn from it and you get better. So hopefully ESCOM's learning a lot, because we've had a lot of fails in terms of providing enough power. Hopefully this is going to be a welcomed addition to our power grid. Let's have our fingers crossed for that one.
Yeah, no, most definitely. Very interesting also, I see Google removed 9 popular apps from the Play Store because they contain Trojans that stole users' Facebook login details. So these apps aren't available on the Play Store right now, but if you had the app on your phone, or maybe you still do somehow, you might want to change your Facebook password right now. Because they've got your logins. We're going to look at them now. 9 of these apps were stealing Facebook logins and passwords. And this according to a report by Dr. Webb. And some of these apps were downloaded more than 5.8 million times. So
you can
guys,
see users are going to be sitting by their phone with the big red uninstall button about to just boom, get out of here.
Yes, but anyway, so the first one is Pip Photo. Sorry for the popping. Pip Photo. Why would you want to download an app called Pip Photo?
I don't know. I mean, we downloaded, what is that? TuneMe. Remember TuneMe?
Yeah.
I haven't quite liked that.
Processing Photos, the other one. I can't even mention these developers' names. I'm going to try. Okay. Pip Photo was by Lillian's. Processing Photo was by Chikumbura Milton.
Sounds a bit South Korean or maybe even...
Yes.
Indian.
Yes, I think Indian. Horoscope Daily was the other one by HS Scope Daily. Mom, wow. Daily Mom. That one was downloaded more than 100,000 times. The other one, In Well Fitness by Ruben Germain. Rubbish Cleaner turned out to be rubbish. to delete itself. By nst.rbcl, Rubbish Cleaner. The other one is called App Lock Keep by Cherylor Rents. App Lock Managers, the other one by Implummet. Locket Master by Inali Michicholo.
Wow.
And Horoscope PI by Taylor Shauna.
So horoscope apps, cleaning apps, and photo apps, and basically the targets.
Yes, and fitness.
And fitness, health.
That's
and
it.
Fitness.
Yeah, like, so it's general apps that most people have on their
phones. Yeah,
these
are things that you want to download, you know. Especially if you're a social adapt person, you want your photos to look the best. Not everybody has $50 a month to pay for Adobe Photoshop or Lightroom.
Yes.
You know, nobody wants to just use the generic filters on their phone either. Very interesting.
So
you
delete
gotta be
them.
Careful.
Delete them right now if they're still somewhere on your phone. Because now they can get onto your Facebook. And who knows what they're going to do on your Facebook.
I sometimes have, you know, I think it happens a lot. Because have you ever been added to a group on Facebook where they just send you one link or something? Very odd stuff happens sometimes. It's the worst. Like, hey, I've seen you here. And then it's a link. And you're like, I know I shouldn't click it, but the curiosity is killing me. Hey, let me get another phone and just see what happens, you know. Turn on self-destructive. I feel there might be a problem with the big red button.
But a lot of companies have been hacked again as well with malware this week.
Yeah.
Some kind of thing that was launched. I mean, every week you get it, but this one was quite big. So I think it was ransomware. You had to pay millions of dollars. It wasn't in crypto, I think.
It probably is.
It was crypto. Now they demand crypto. They don't want real money anymore. They want virtual currency now for their hacks.
It's easier to keep and hide.
But it was a ridiculous amount that most businesses, you won't be able to pay that.
No, and I know a friend of mine actually got hit by one of those, an app owner. You just can't do anything about it.
What do you do? How will you ever unlock your computer again? Or is it just good to throw away?
You know, the people that ask for these demands, I don't think they do like a revenue analysis. So they might ask for an amount of money well outside of the range. You just build a new app.
Go and ask it for the local cake shop or something. I'm shame that.
Could take out a small load of too much money.
What have you got for us next, Kane?
So South Africa is now supporting South African consortium to establish the first COVID mRNA vaccine technology transfer hub. Something quite important, you know, we're bringing in Johnson & Johnson and all these different vaccines. Even Ramaphosa went to say that, he said, the COVID-19 pandemic has revealed the full extent of the vaccine gap between developed and developing countries and how that gap can severely undermine global health security. This landmark initiative is a major advance in the international effort to build vaccine development and manufacturing capacity that will put Africa on a path to self-determination. South Africa welcomes the opportunity to host a vaccine technology transfer hub and to build on the capacity and expertise that already exists on the continent to contribute to this effort. Now, I've been monitoring actually how South Africa is handling the vaccine, I would say vaccine application to citizens in South Africa. I remember it started with everyone over the age of
60, and now it's 50.
I think it even might have started over 70, then dropped to 60, and now it's at 50. And it's quite interesting because I actually had my gran registered to be applied for that vaccine because that's what she wanted. Mm. And we never heard any kind of SMS confirmation other than the application being submitted. Then 2 to 3 months later, she's told, okay, tomorrow you got to be here to get your vaccine.
Whereas probably on the other side of the world.
It was. You had to go deep up into, you know, rural kind of area and go get it done. Yeah. And it's not exactly, you know, this efficient system that you would see somewhere in like the UK. So that's definitely a good description of how developing countries have trouble with managing 60 million patients, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and actually being able to effectively distribute a limited number of vaccines, which all require a second dose, to millions of people, and still work within the parameters of life, people who are under medical aid, you know, and being able to give the right vaccines to the right place and make sure that supply is able to meet the demand, the expectation that they're setting for themselves. I think it's a pretty difficult job. I'm sure they're going to welcome the ability to create vaccines in-house and be able to supply those vaccines unto Africa. You know, if South Africa is struggling, which is a good example of one of the better off developing countries in Africa, imagine somewhere like Nigeria or Zimbabwe or Botswana or even Chad. You know, those places do not have the technology or the expertise to do that, and they have a far greater population of almost probably unregistered citizens, which they don't just have a record for and all of that sort of stuff. It's a well-needed addition. Great for South Africa, I think.
But, Caton, you're a well-read person, so I want to ask you a question now. You don't have to answer it, but I know you like a challenge, so you'll probably answer it. But I find that the vaccine thing right now is almost like religion. Everybody's got a different view and a different take on it.
Right.
What is your take on it? Would you go for the vaccine if younger people can go for it?
Right.
Or do you want to see some more research done into exactly what is in it? And because we've got so many conspiracy theories going around right now.
So obviously there's an element of what I would prefer versus what is okay versus what I haven't considered based on a lack of knowledge. So when it comes to, for me especially, to get the vaccine, I am a little bit more hesitant because, you know, being a younger person, I might have somewhat of an advantage to be able to handle a natural immunity, whereby I can develop that immunity myself. But in the same light, if me getting a natural immunity infects my family, who is not at an advantageous position to deal with getting infected, and that might cause them, you know, severe health complications, that's a completely different story. So it's really a case of, you know, if the vaccine was available today, would I take it? I don't have an answer to that. But what I do know is I would prefer to acquire a natural immunity.
Yeah.
I think it would be a preference. Now, I have a friend of mine who recently had COVID. We don't see each other or anything like that, just a close friend. And they took up to 10 days. They said it was the most, you know, it was being in hell, basically, for 10 days. That's how sick you are. That it's the worst. He described it as the worst ailment he's had to recover from, you know, in his whole life.
How old is he?
He's over 40.
Okay.
So it definitely is a case of, you know, you might not even have the natural immune foundation in place in order to handle acquiring a natural immunity. Mm. I think if the vaccine was in front of me, I would likely opt to get it, I think.
Okay.
I think I would opt to get it for one and one reason only, to just protect the people who are in the closest contact with me, mm. who might not be in a position that they can deal with acquiring that natural immunity. You don't even know if you have the ability to acquire that natural immunity and if it might cause you, you know, a visit to the ICU, you know, ventilation.
You just don't know the response.
No, you don't.
Your body is going to have. Everybody is unique. Every single person you talk to, it's got a different story.
And in the same light, it is a case of, you know, you said, you know, would I want more time to be there so that we could analyze the result? The reality is, if I get a vaccine today or I get a vaccine in 5 years, it's still basically a generation of guinea pigs. You know, you could have negative effects at the age of 70, 80, 90, and you could have had the vaccine at 20. So unless there's 100 years to test the vaccine, you're all in the same boat.
Mm.
You know, whether you get it in 10 years, 5 years, 50 years.
You're right.
You're in that boat of one generation, loose generation of people over 150 years who have to have this tested.
Mm.
And if for that reason, it makes no difference, actually, whether you want to get it or not. Because if it's there and it's available, you know, you get sick, you might have to have the vaccine, you're going to be a guinea pig. So you can't choose not to get the vaccine because you don't want to be a guinea pig, because there's no escaping that. You're not going to live long enough to let the guinea pigs be guinea pigs and then you for you to make an informed decision. That's the 21st century for you.
I knew you were going to give a good answer. I like your take on it. I agree with you completely.
It's a peculiar situation, but I think we don't have the privilege of being able to make an informed decision with the little information that's available. I mean, if the vaccine were to knock each and every person down, you know, blood clots and planes and all of this stuff, you're in the same boat. You know, this is the generation that will go into the history books, technically.
Yep.
You know, everybody who's alive right now and will be alive for the next 10 to 50 years, you're in that generational category where, you know, whatever happens to us is going to protect people. It might protect your kids, your kids' kids.
Exactly.
You don't know.
Sure.
So if it was in front of me, I'd take it to protect the people around me.
Your systems are offline.
Eve Radio Live, powered by TCS Wi-Fi.
Now it's time for part two of Tech Thursday right here on eRadio. And Kane is with us till 4 o'clock today. We're talking about all things technology and things you should know. Kane, what have you got for us next?
Oh, this is right up my alley. I love this kind of news. South Africa's MeerKAT, K-A-T, capital,
okay,
telescope discovers group of unidentified galaxies in their formation process. So this galaxy group was discovered by the MeerKAT. Listen to this. This is a crazy ass name with a crazy acronym. Okay. MeerKAT International Gigahertz Tiered Extragalactic Exploration, or MIGHTE. MIGHTEE. The South African Radio Astronomy Observation announced on Tuesday that a group of 20 galaxies have been discovered with South Africa's MeerKAT telescope. This large galaxy group is likely the most neutral hydrogen gas rich group ever discovered, and it is the first time this group has been identified despite residing in a very well studied area of the sky. SARO said that most star forming galaxies are embedded within a cloud of cold neutral hydrogen gas, which acts as the raw fuel from which stars can eventually form. This gas is extremely faint and can only be detected in radio wavelengths. It is diffuse and extends beyond the visible part of the galaxy. By observing this hydrogen gas, astronomers are able to understand the evolutionary processes that take part in galaxies. The majority of galaxies in the universe reside in groups. However, it is rare to detect a group with such a large number of group members with so much neutral hydrogen. This suggests that the group is still in the process of assembling and it has not undergone evolutionary processes processes that would remove the gas from the galaxies. Now, here's something incredibly interesting, right? The further away you look at something from space, the further behind in time you're observing it. So if these galaxies are, let's say, 21 million light years away, you're observing galaxies 21 million years ago.
Sure.
So although we might be observing galaxies that are forming, if you were to, by chance, teleport directly there with no time in between, you would see a completely different picture. And I think it's really an opportunity for us to figure out how these galaxies are forming. And we're part of a galaxy, you know, the Milky Way galaxy. This galaxy would have undergone a similar process. And this will give scientists and astronomers the ability to conceptualize how the process takes place and what is actually needed to be present in order for this to happen. Most galaxies, the bodies of the galaxy, the planets, the gases, all circulate around a central or double black hole. And this black hole is, you know, a gravitational force which bends even light. And this giant force forces planets and gases to collide and perform, you know, processes which form planets and partially a galaxy that we see here today. Being able to observe this is a feat, but the fact that a South African-based astronomy group operating the Meerkat Observatory is phenomenal for South Africa.
It is.
Making global news.
We have amazing people in this country.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
And the thing is, it's not easy to use a telescope, especially one like the Meerkat telescope, because we're on a spinning ball. So that the direction to which we look out to space is continuously changing every 24 hours because we are shifting in where we're looking. Mm-hmm. So what they sometimes do is they station more of these observatories in different parts of the world, maybe Australia, maybe in Europe, maybe in South America. And by doing that, they're able to form a continuous observation of something in the universe. And I think it's incredible that South Africa has been placed onto the map here with this discovery.
It is.
Lots to learn. Hey?
It is. There's a lot of stuff happening right now. I mean, look at Space Granny as well. It's unreal.
Space Granny.
Yeah, that's my name for her. Isn't that her name? No, she's got a different name. She's actually got a name, like a space name. But I just call her Space Granny. She's going with Jeff Bezos soon into space, and hopefully they will return. But just quickly, you know that WhatsApp, they've got 2 billion users around the globe at the moment, even after all that stuff that happened to them and people leaving and going to Signal and Telegram and all that stuff. People are still on WhatsApp, 2 billion people. And they say that you need to have some features switched on WhatsApp for the best experience and the safest experience. One of them is fingerprint lock. I don't know, have you got fingerprint lock on your WhatsApp?
Yes.
Have you?
Oh, on WhatsApp? No,
yeah.
It's a function that's available on my phone, but it is not on WhatsApp.
Not on WhatsApp. Okay, you can, because you can also get it to lock automatically immediately after 1 minute or after 30 minutes, and then your fingerprint is obviously needed to switch it on.
I guess that's a problem that we never expected for instant messaging applications. If someone were to get your phone, they can send messages as you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really think about it that way.
That's why two-factor authentication is so important. And that's also something you need to switch on your WhatsApp. You'll find it under the two-step verification option under the account section of the settings page. Make sure it's on. Two-step verification. That will require a PIN when you register your phone number with WhatsApp again. So somebody can't just hijack your account.
You know,
I've got it on.
You know what's a pet peeve for me? When you are trying to activate your WhatsApp, they have one of the most ridiculous ways of making sure you don't abuse that system. So for example, for my mom, I'm trying to transfer her Huawei phone's WhatsApp onto her Samsung phone's WhatsApp.
She's going the other way.
Exactly. So now when you launch the new WhatsApp on your Samsung phone after migrating from a Huawei, the first thing you notice is I don't have my chat history. Now, whether it's a year and a half or a month and a half worth of missing chat history requires you to go back to the old phone to look what's going on. but you can only run one WhatsApp at a time. So when you have to enable the WhatsApp on the other phone, you have to go through an SMS verification.
Oh, yeah.
If you do more than two or three SMS verifications, you have to wait 7 hours before you can do your next SMS verification. Oh. So if the SMS doesn't come through, you're waiting 7 hours. If you happen to send the SMS verification and the 7 hour mark is reached and you then do another one but you fail it, it's 24 hours.
Yeah.
Now you start getting locked out of your WhatsApp for days.
Yes.
And all you're trying to do is just check what you sent Bob the other day.
Yeah,
you know?
But you know, even with the banks, all these security things, I know they are important and you should have them, but eventually they'll just lock you out. And they treat you like a criminal and you've got to go to the bank and all that stuff. And it's insane. But yeah, I suppose it's necessary. But sometimes I feel like it's a little too much.
It is. Like go from 60 seconds that you have to wait to a minute and a half to 5 minutes to 10 minutes. Don't go 7 hours, 24 hours. The next thing you're going to see 180 days before you can send your next SMS verification.
Screw it, man.
You're like, oh, signal looks good at the moment.
Yeah, totally. And also the other one is also under settings, privacy section in settings, last seen. Is your WhatsApp last seen on?
No, I turn it off.
Same here, because... Not because I want to spy on other people, but I just like, why do you want to see when I was on?
I find it gets me in trouble a lot.
I know why. Because you read stuff and then you don't reply to other people and then they see you were online and you didn't read their stuff and you didn't reply. Yeah, it causes unnecessary conflict.
You're speaking to someone for 2-3 hours because it's a very important call. Maybe it's work related. And then you go out of that chat and you notice everyone's sending you a single thumbs up. You know, like, you bastard for not answering me.
Yep.
And you're like, I'm innocent, you know.
Yeah.
And I like it when you turn it off because it takes away the pressure.
It does.
Also from the receiver of your messages.
It does. It's just unnecessary.
Mm.
It's it is pressure.
But
I know
like
somebody who's replying solely in his preview window so he doesn't show online.
Sometimes you need it. Especially for managing, you know, if you're managing a lot of clients or something like that, you don't want to cause unnecessary friction. And a last scene is just, it's like a way of kind of, you know, causing unnecessary friction, especially if you, like, it's not always the case that you don't want to answer someone. It's sometimes the case that you have to answer someone else and you have a limited amount of time, and now you have a negative conversation kind of occurring because you weren't able to react to that message at that exact time. But when you don't have your last scene on, the whole emotion changes, whereby the person is actually accepting of the fact that you might not have read their message, or you might have or might not. It just creates a much more relaxed environment in order to, you know, contemplate and consider each and every message and spend time on each person. You know, it's a bit difficult to give everyone 15 minutes of your time, because if you have 10 people and now you have 150 minutes gone, that's almost 3 hours. You know, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Speaking of pretty interesting tech and tech advancements, F1 now taking a step up. Ferrari specifically looking to simulation technology to get back to the top of F1. Now, I don't know if you remember, but when Michael Schumacher was racing more frequently, he was racing for Ferrari. That's when they had some of their best performance. And Ferrari have completed the construction of their new state-of-the-art simulator facility. I think anyone would really enjoy to be in these simulations.
Yeah.
I once watched an episode of Top Gear where Richard Hammond tried to race an F4 car. I think it goes F4, F3, F2, F1. I'm not an expert, so viewers, feel free to correct me. But he raced, I think, one of the lower division Formula 1 cars, and they're incredible pieces of technology to operate. Everything requires you to have enough heat in your tires in order to take a corner with enough grip, and you have to be a very seasoned professional with diamond hands, basically, so that you can properly operate your Formula 1 car and put it to the max. And the only way to do that is practice. So the famous F1 team will use their facility to help develop their all-new car for 2022 when the sport's sweeping new technology regulations come into force. Ferrari hope to begin using the simulator with their top drivers in September. That's pretty soon, actually. After the summer break, while using their existing simulator, which is older tech, in the meantime to develop their current SF21 car and prepare for race weekends. I think this is super cool because, you know, when you think about simulator technology, you might think about like Forza, the PlayStation game, where you have your little steering wheel and your little accelerator and your gears, and you basically race with very real world kind of physics. But this is completely on another level. This is where your chair is moving, you're actually experiencing some of the G's, It actually says the new sim facility is a result of a collaboration between Ferrari and UK-based company Dysma, headed by ex-Ferrari engineer Ashley Warne. And that's quite interesting. So this simulator was actually designed by an ex-Ferrari engineer and is said to be at the very cutting edge of F1 technology. The new simulator is absolutely the cutting edge in the field and reproduces in a 360-degree environment the lowest latency and the widest bandwidth of anything currently on the market. It is based on a completely new concept, which is the result of the collaboration, which a press release made by Ferrari explained. Teams will be afforded less time on the track in the future, and Ferrari hope that the new sim can help them return to the top of the sport. Simulation and digital technology are going to play an ever more important role in the development of a Formula One car, and this comes into play with this new commercial virtual reality environment as well. You know, being able to play games in an immersive environment is a completely different experience, which will be vetted by anyone who's actually been in that level. You know, once you go into a virtual reality game-based environment, you can't just go back to your 2D screen and experience it in the same way. It actually makes you long for it. A friend of mine actually said something quite funny. I'm not sure if he's here listening today, but I think he'll have a laugh if he was. He once told me, because he's got the new virtual reality headset.
He can listen to the podcast.
Yeah, and I said, you know, how long or how do you feel after playing? You know, what is the one thing that you've noticed? As he said, I don't actually feel nauseous anymore after 3 hours of gameplay or sick. And I thought to myself, and I don't have headaches. I thought to myself, you had to play for 3 hours straight with nausea and headaches to get to the point where you are. Is it really as fun as you're telling me it is? You know, like that doesn't sound like a nice way to experience your game.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
About to throw up or pass out or migraine or
that's your diehard gamers.
Eh? Yeah, they got
it. They'll take it.
Runners get sprained ankles. You know, gamers get really good at dealing with severe migraines and exceptionally awful nausea. I mean, it sounds like a sport, to be honest with you. You
know, it does. From virtual reality to electric buses, this week on Monday they launched two electric buses in South Africa, in Cape Town. That's Golden Arrow. And obviously it's because they want to be, or they were actually declared carbon neutral last year in 2020. So they had a 12-month period where they tested the buses, and they didn't have people on it. They put something else on it just to ensure safety.
Okay.
But to mimic the weight of all the people in it. And it passed all the tests, but you know, they've had a bit of challenges. They're still working out, you know, the charging time in between the routes, factoring it in, and they haven't, as I mentioned earlier, they haven't had load shedding yet to deal with. So they need to kind of take that in account as well. But they're running. They seem to be running at the moment in Cape Town between two suburbs, taking people to work in electrical buses.
I mean, there must be quite a time constraint in how long it takes to charge, because you don't want to start your bus with 100% charge.
Yeah.
And by the end of the day, you're fighting between charging between 10% and 15%. You're going to feel like you're running on low battery. You know, it's not going to be optimal.
Yeah.
For actual practical use. I wonder how long this will work, because batteries degrade over time.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Now, they're still assessing the battery degradation and other generational or general operational challenges compared to the old buses that they used to. At least these buses don't give out
Carbon emissions.
Carbon emissions, yeah.
That would definitely be an advantage. So, but I'm sure you've experienced. I'm sure you've experienced with your phone where, you know, usually it took an hour to charge your phone and now it might take an hour and a half, or your phone lasted 2 days and now it lasts a day. If that kind of degradation takes place for those buses,
exactly,
you don't replace your car engine.
You just go one block and then the bus stops. I'm seeing it already. I'm seeing that already. That's going to happen, and it's going to happen in the rain, let me tell you.
Then they're going to launch a new initiative. There's stationary bicycles in every bus so that 5 to 10 passengers can just pedal and generate electricity on the way.
Or maybe everybody in the bus can push it, and then tomorrow they'll get a free ride.
They're going to have to figure something out.
Yeah, but it's at least it's a step in the right direction for South Africa.
Absolutely.
We've now got electric buses.
We produce a lot of carbon emissions. I mean, when I go for my jog and I jog alongside the road, you notice how much crap air you're breathing.
Really?
You know, because you don't think about it, but when you're running in parallel with the road and you're pretty close to the road, you're just having constant engine exhaust fumes just pumped around you.
That can't
be healthy.
No.
You know, so we need to take the step in order to do this, because you have these, I mean, Joburg air quality is poor, but China's air quality is horrific. You know,
permanent mask all year round.
It's not worth it.
They were wearing masks before the virus, eh? Because of that pollution problem.
It's not good.
We actually have a clip from a listener who used the Checkers 60 Minutes service and gave us some feedback.
Oh, wow.
From Cape Town, yes.
Yo, the Checkers delivery is almost efficient, brah. You get no my course, okay, but not 20 minutes. Just a deliver, ook, brother. Cheap delivery, brah. 35 rand delivery. Just op a motorbike. En gekom course, okay, man.
Okay, well, that's nice.
He's not. He doesn't seem impressed, does he?
I don't know. It's just the way he talks.
I hope it's, I mean, 35 rand gets expensive, you know. It's a coffee every single time you're getting a delivery. Does it work? I think in Cape Town it works a lot better than somewhere like Nas. You can take 5 minutes out of your day and get to a shopping centre. In Cape Town or Joburg, you know, you're traveling, what, an hour there and back just to get your groceries. Maybe you just need a Coke. Seems like a way out of your way kind of problem, you know.
20 rand for a Coke and then 35 delivery. That's insane. And then lastly, the Gauteng Department of Treasury has lost 6.8 billion rand because it paid Microsoft Ireland in US dollars instead of rand. That's how it happened. That's how they sent the wrong amount. They paid in the wrong currency. Only in South Africa.
You are in charge of finances and you pay in the wrong currency, of which there are 10 to select. But I mean, is there no checking, you know?
They lost 6 million rand of taxpayers' money because of this error.
And
who was doing that EFT? I hope so.
I would hope so. I mean,
Do
you call your bank up and say, you know, I've made a bit of a mistake, can we just keep it on the down low and see if we can get in contact with these people? The bank's like, no, we're going public with this. This is too good. This is too good to just leave.
Yes, yeah. But, you know, like they said, so Gauteng lost 6 million rand of taxpayers' money after provincial treasury incorrectly processed $20 million instead of the rand value of 20 million rand for Microsoft fees. So, as they say, this money could have bought 48,000 Johnson & Johnson vaccines, for example, and saved innocent lives from COVID-19. Just one comparison.
Feels a bit like they're stoking the fire a little bit. They're trying to create like a good equation. But there is absolutely no excuse for messing with financial. Like, it's not your money. It's taxpayers' money. And they've given it to you with the expectation that you're going to be responsible with it. And not, like, that's like a 400% more than a required amount. I mean, the mistake itself is amateurish.
Yeah, it's unacceptable.
You would expect that, you know, you have a little cafe and your cafe is busy ordering coffee from True Coffee and they go and accidentally overpay True Coffee. You don't expect South Africa's national treasury to overpay Microsoft because of a miscommunication with currency. I mean, I wonder if someone just called him up and said, you know, I'm having a bit of an issue. We haven't paid this bill yet. Do you mind just sending 20 million to Microsoft? And he gets to the computer, goes, Okay, I've put it down, but I didn't know if he said ZAR or USD. I'm just going to go with USD. Like, how does the mistake happen?
Kane, you should see me when I transfer 1,000 rand. I do all these checks before I've like real OCD before I push the transfer button.
Even
to
me.
Make sure I don't send it to the wrong person. Even 1,000 rand. How on earth can you be like that when you have a big amount like that?
When I have to pay my friend 300 bucks, I say, look, I've got your bank account detail. I'm just going to send a test amount real quick. I'm going to send you like 50
you
rand.
See?
Let me know if you get it. Yeah,
exactly.
I got it. Okay, I'm going to pay the rest.
Uh-huh.
Not South Africa. We just like, we close our eyes. We pick up a paper plane. We just throw it and see where it lands, you know?
That's insane. Kane, thank you so much once again. What a great Tech Thursday. And we'll do it again next Thursday from 3 to 4.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much for having
me on.
It's another great Tech Thursday. I think we had some fabulous topics. We'll follow up on some of those topics next week, and we'll keep all of our viewers up to date. Shout out to all of our viewers that tuned in to listen to this Tech Thursday. Special shout out to my Gran and Jade, who are listening in today.
Hi, guys.
Just give them a little shout out. Share the love. But thanks so much, Iona. I'll see you next week.
And we'll see you next week.
Cheers,
thanks,
everyone.
Kane. Cheers, man.
Bye-bye.
Systems are offline.
Eve Radio Live, powered by TCS Wi-Fi.